Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Filling in for Mark Ryan again, I am Derek Fogle. Great to be with you on a Friday. Big plans for your weekend, I hope. Football is back. Got a big day of college football tomorrow. Got a nice-ish NFL Week 6. We'll make our pick'ems later, Lonzo. We'll have to decide who's going to win, who's not, and then you can go ahead and make your picks that you do with Mark, and he won't be here to defend himself, so that'll be really fun. Hopefully he texts in. If you'd like to, 71307, start your text with ESPN. You're looking for me on Twitter. Love me or hate me, I don't care. Let me know. At Fogle said what? F-O-G-E-L said what? You're looking for Lonzo, of course, at Lonzo on Word. Why did you choose all caps for that, Lonzo? Was that just so that way it's like you're yelling when you do tell people it?
See,
or?
Here's the thing. Back when social media first started, people started with this yelling, I'm sorry, text. You can't hear what it sounds like. It bothers me. And we actually had consultants come in. And at the time, I was having great interaction with fans on both Twitter and Facebook about the caps thing, and people were getting just downright angry and wanting to hurt me over it, which I was having a blast with. And the consultant, they asked me why I was doing it. I told them why, and they went back to corporate, and corporate said I was allowed to continue with the all caps. So, you know, I got corporate permission to do it, and so it's like it's permission to annoy people.
Yeah, you're big time now.
That's all anyone wants is permission to annoy people.
Yeah, you're big time. You got the check mark and all caps. And you know what? If you call it a troll job, sure. That's what people love to do now. One of the recent things that I've seen people trolling or you know, the just annoying people is instead of, you know, just having some tweet war with them or comment war on Instagram, whatever it is, people are reporting they're reporting them to Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. And then what happens is the account will be suspended for like 3 days to a week, depending on what they deem worthy. So if you insult someone, it's no longer that you're blocking them and just, okay, I'm done with them, I won't see it. You're reporting them so they can't use an account, and people are having to make new accounts.
See, that is low. I mean, that's saying I don't have game, so I'm going to get you removed because I can't compete with you. That's what that says.
Yeah, but it's that. I think that's funny because that's exactly what it says. Like, you won the argument, so you know what? I'm gonna tell mom, and I'm gonna get it taken away from you. That's hilarious to me. That's what people do. I've never had a conversation like that on Twitter. I don't think that's the best place for it. And we'll probably talk about that later because Steve Kerr had something to say regarding the NBA situation. And we'll get to that. But first, let's just get into what could happen Sunday morning for the Panthers. You know, London game, we talked about this earlier. Fun time to watch, not such a fun time for the players. They got to get up, they got to wake up, and it's tough to do despite them being professionals and everything else that is part of it, I understand. But it's tough to get up for that game. Not so worried about that when it comes to real football discussion. I'd like to have just a short, real football discussion. I'm not a real X's and O's guy, but I think we all know the one thing we need to see from Kyle Allen Sunday morning. Ball security or pocket presence, however you want to put it, right? He's not throwing too many interceptions or anything like that. It's holding on to the football. And is that his own, you know, do you want to draw that up to the line? Sure. But there's also pocket presence and ball security in himself, maybe holding it up a little higher. I don't know. But he does not have that pocket presence in my mind just because he doesn't have the reps. This, if I could draw it to my career in baseball, is like first and third situations when you're the pitcher. You kind of panic if you've never seen it before when you just have the first base runner take off. So you maybe just panic and balk, or you step off and don't know where to throw it, or you don't check the third base runner. You just you're not comfortable with the situation until you experience it enough, whether it's in practice, live reps, it could be in the preseason for Kyle Allen, or even really just more important, the real game reps. He's not had a lot of those. So there are some things in life that really require that experience to be able to perform it. Like pocket presence for me is one of them. Things that really require that craft. You know what I mean? Like the, do you remember the show on History Channel? It was American Restoration. That is real craft. You know what I mean? That's not something you can jump into and have the know-how and be good at. Do you know how to paint something and sand something? Sure. But do you know the way that you should do it? What type of sandpaper? Just the way... Do you, Lonzo, did you ever watch that show? Are you a History Channel guy that you'd watch American Restoration? Do you know? Do you remember the show?
I do not. I have watched shows similar to that, but I did not watch that one.
No, I'm not talking... It was usually like right after Pawn Stars... Which Pawn Stars is hilarious. It's like, hey, I need 8 hours of sleep. Oh, the best I can do is three. That's the Pawn Stars, just the way they undercut people was just so bad. It was funny. But American Restoration, it was people had these old, whether it's antiques or just even things from their childhood, like a cool little pedal wagon, right, that they used to ride in as a kid, or even like a rocking horse, or just or old Coke machines, old jukeboxes, and these things are in horrible condition usually. They might just need a few things, but they take them to this guy. I think it was Restoration Rick. I think his name was Rick. And they would just restore them, sometimes with original parts. If not, they'd get things working again as original as they could. And like, it was just the most incredible craft. Things like that, you can't just jump into and know, right? It's not like, or even car repair. You learn so much along the way, as opposed to being an accountant. That's learned protocol. There's no real skill. You can be better than others by not making mistakes or better at numbers, but there's a ceiling for that, right? There's no real ceiling when it comes to pocket presence and field awareness. Like, that's not something you can really teach and just say, okay, well, in this run play, you need to be aware of the guy chasing you. You need to be aware of the guy that's creating an angle to attack you down the field from across the field. And you also need to be ready for the three guys that are trying to tackle you right in front of you. That's not something you can just prepare for and say, oh, well, if I just do this, this, and this, if I hit the circle button in my mind, I'll spin and everything will be fine. It doesn't work like that. So unfortunately for Kyle Allen and for Panthers fans, you're going to have to be really patient as he learns that ball security. And you might say it's just so simple. Hold on to the ball, dummy. Sure. But it's also feeling the defender behind you. That's not really something that you can just know.
You know, I would say that I hate to disagree with you, but I don't. But I do disagree with you on this, because it isn't like he just started in this field. Ball security is taught from peewee up. And just the way he holds that ball as low as he does, and especially after he started having this problem, you would think he would do things to fix that, and it doesn't look like he has. We had Jim Zocchi on, who's a color analyst for the Panthers, I think it was last week, and I asked him, is he being punished in practice? Because, you know, in college, high school, back, you know, you're having to carry that ball around campus or something, and he said, no, they don't really do that in the pros. Maybe they should. Maybe they should find a way to drill in Kyle Allen's head, hey, hold that ball with two hands, hold it up a little bit closer to your body, and those things won't happen.
You know, I get what you're saying, but he hasn't really been a starter in years. He wasn't a draft pick, and I know that they've coached it from the get, but, you know, that might have been one of those things that kind of has slipped into a bad habit. Because, well, it obviously has, of holding the ball so low because he hasn't been in a lot of games. You know what I mean? Like, there's only so much they can do about it for him at the moment. It's like trying to make an adjustment immediately where it's a habit. Habits are hard to break. And then I think also, too, Alonzo, if we want to be really honest with ourselves, we can nitpick Kyle Allen in this one bad habit all we want. Realistically, that line needs help. correct me if I'm wrong, Lonzo, but doesn't that line need something?
Well, they do need help, but the best help that Kyle Allen has right now is he has Christian McCaffrey and all the stuff that he's able to do. And, you know, we are nitpicking, but Kyle Allen's undefeated.
Oh, yeah. The wins talk, and you're totally right. McCaffrey, I saw Mark tweet this the other day, and I actually I'm the worst sometimes with Twitter, where I'll just take the tweet and I'll like screenshot it and send it to Mark rather than actually comment on it and create the conversation there. I had it with him through text message, and he said that Christian McCaffrey is the most underappreciated guy on football right now, unless you're a fantasy owner and are aware of what he's been doing, probably just throwing up points for you. But it seems like Carolina, just being where it is geographically, but also the division it's in, the Saints really take a lot of the conversation there, and even the Falcons, just because they're a bigger market. And I don't think the Bucs do. I would say then it would become the Panthers for the most talked about, but that's third in their own division, so nobody really talks about them. And McCaffrey is so underappreciated. Mark is really right about that. We don't like to admit when Mark is right, but he's really right. I mean, what he's doing, not just as a running back, it's really what he's doing as a receiver out of the backfield. It's incredible. Like, offensive player of the year, I don't know if we can go that far yet, but wow. I mean, and we've talked about it before, how the run game or just having something in the backfield can help you so much and take pressure off you as a quarterback. Yeah, he is bailing out Kyle Allen more than we know. If he didn't have McCaffrey, I wonder where he would be. That's a legitimate question. I don't think
I'll tell you where he'd be. He'd be out with Cam rehabbing.
Yeah, probably. Or to be honest, he probably wouldn't even have this job by now. They would have gone and found another quarterback. That's what I think would have happened if he would have been at. I think he could have possibly been that bad without McCaffrey to where they would have had to go get something. But super underappreciated. And really, you know, he was that silver lining with the slow start the Panthers had. But now they've turned it around, and there's a real rematch going on where the Bucs got the best of them in week one. Week two. Rams were in week one. My fault. In week two. Yeah. You gotta get on top of the Bucs here. You can't let Bruce Arians and whatever's going on in Tampa Bay gain any kind of momentum, because you already got to deal with the Saints. Don't need any more on your list. Good thing the Falcons are the Falcons this year. Dan Quinn on the hot seat talked about that yesterday. Oof. God, that was ugly watching what they did against the Texans. Really, really bad. Like, Matt Ryan, I don't know if he's like hit a cliff. Like, I feel bad for Julio Jones. That's a whole. And I know you don't like the Falcons, Lonzo, but that is getting ugly fast, and not for that fun, like the way people like to poke at Clayton Kershaw. I don't like that either, because he's a good dude and people just love to be like, oh, what a choke. That's kind of what's happening, I feel like, for Atlanta just as a city. Anytime their team is falling off, people just love to bury them, and I don't enjoy that so much. You know, that's just me personally. Derek Fogle filling in for Mark Ryan. You're still offsides. Coming up next, elsewhere in college football, man, big games tomorrow. And also the best percentage to make the college football playoff. We'll talk about that. ESPN Upstate.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Filling in for Mark Ryan, Derek Fogle with you. It's been good so far. Had some interaction on the text line, some people finding me on Twitter. I like to hear what you're thinking, especially with the college football slate we've got tomorrow. It's really good. So I will give you the text line real quick before we get into this. 71307, you want to text in, start it with ESPN. And then whatever you want to say. And then if you want to tweet at me, at Fogle said what, F-O-G-E-L said what. Let me know what you're thinking about these games, because there's some really good ones. Let's just start down the line with number one. The number one I think is going to be the best game. Florida at LSU, number seven, number five. Lonzo, I'm sure you're tired of hearing about it because Mark Ryan's a Gator. I'm not going to spend too much time on it, but for obvious reasons, this is a really good game.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this. I want to see. I don't believe Florida's for real, so I'm not worried about that. I want to see how bad LSU beats them, because I want to see the guy who usually sits across from me in a bad mood. I just do.
I know you do. I like it. No, it's good. And I'm not sure if I would say that my belief is that Florida's not for real. I think the best way to put it is, at least in my mind, and you can tell me what you think, Lonzo, for me, I see this as LSU people are putting a lot of stock in. Florida is a team that's trying to get people to buy stock. Which stock is going to come out on top? You know what I mean? Like, it's really similar on both sides of the football. For they're really trying to prove themselves, and it's easier to do so for LSU. They've already been in the national picture, and they've put up some serious numbers. Joe Burrow has been great. What Ed Orgeron has done is really unbelievable, just in my opinion, since he looks like a cartoon character and talks like one. And then Florida, they've overcome a lot, so they've kind of had a little bit of we've proven it in them, but this is going to be the real test. So am I off base, do you think, with my little miniature evaluation of stocks here? Is that all right?
No, I think you're fine. And as far as I can put all the Mark Ryan stuff aside, because I'm just joking with him. When we picked our top four for the playoff at the beginning of the year, I picked LSU. And I think LSU is for real. I think they're going to show the Alabamas, the Floridas, all these guys that they are for real. And I think Coach Orgeron is a great story. No one thought he could do what he's doing right now. And I think this team is for real. And, of course, I believe in Joe Burrow, just for obvious reasons, as we stated yesterday. Wearing an Ohio State shirt right now, I've got to believe in Joe Burrow.
Of course.
I really like this team. And as far as Florida goes, Dan Mullen's done a good job. He really has in the couple of years he's been there.
Yeah. And he's done enough to get him there.
I hope this is a really good game. I know I said it was going to be a blowout, but I hope this is a really good game. And I hope it's a close game that proves that both teams really are back.
Yeah, that's true. If they really are back, that's probably the best way to summarize it, rather than just putting who do you put stock in, who's really back. That's a good way to put it. I like that, Lonzo. Up next, number six, Oklahoma, number 11, Texas, Red River rivalry. It's Big 12, right? The offense just, they run teams off the field. I'm not saying literally run or they pass, I'm aware, they spread. But I'm saying there just is no defense. And I don't know what to make of these teams. So when they square off here, Red River rivalry, always fun, always a lot of passion. I just don't know what to make of either of these teams. Oklahoma always looks so good and so impressive with a Heisman quarterback the last few years. And Lincoln Riley has been really picking up where Bob Stoops left off. And that's all well and good and impressive. It's just when they show up to the college football playoff, they lose. And it always proves my point that they don't have the competition in the Big 12 to help lift them up. Texas is the best version of competition for themselves. And I think Texas is overrated as well. So, Lonzo, are you, like, I think they're both a little bit overrated. Texas more so than OU. But am I off base here that I don't feel wrong saying that? I don't really feel like I'm going out on a limb saying that these teams are overrated.
No, listen, I agree with you that they're overrated. But at the same time, I think we can just live in the now and this game and not worry about the future. Because you're right. If they get to a playoff, they're going to get
spanked.
Yeah, they are. But for now, this should be a good game. And I think Jalen Hurts is such a great story. And I want to see that kid do well. And,
look at you, Lonzo. You're getting invested in the storylines. I'm proud of you.
I am. And, you know, when he left Alabama, I think, you know, he's another one of those where they say, well, he just wasn't good enough to start there, so he had to go somewhere else. He was good enough to start there. And, I mean, he was. That's why he was starting there. And he lost his job after, you know, a half a play, which I still think was ridiculous. And I love what he's able to do. And I'm not so sure it's just the system that he's in. I think he's a pretty good quarterback.
I think it'll be really interesting. You know, you're saying how he lost his job to Tua and then had to go somewhere else. Won't it be interesting to see how their NFL careers pan out, or, you know, potential NFL careers? Just to say, like, wow, he replaced him and then he went off to be better or whatever. It'll take time to finally have this conversation. But we're going to look back and go, remember when? And that's going to be really interesting. Another game that's on the slate for tomorrow that I'm really not particularly interested in, but it could be a good game, is Michigan State at number 8, Wisconsin. Even though the Spartans are unranked, there could be like a real domino effect here if Wisconsin loses. And there's something about the Badgers that just doesn't have me sold, so I don't really want to spend a lot of time on it. We talked already a couple times about how the drop-off when it comes to being after number 6 in the country is just pretty steep. When I say steep, I mean, look at the difference between Florida, number 7, and 8, Wisconsin. If they played, I would take Florida every single time. So I don't really want to talk about that one. But there is a decent...
Well, let me give you just a little something on
okay,
that.
Okay, fine.
Because just a little bit. I know, because it's me and it's Big Ten. But I just want to say that Wisconsin can be scary if they continue to build confidence. Going up against Michigan State, who has a good defense and is a pretty good team, who held Ohio State for a little while last week, Wisconsin can use them as a measuring stick to see how they play against them, knowing that Ohio State's coming up in the future. And I think Wisconsin can be scary if they continue to win and continue to get confidence.
Yeah, I guess I just don't totally buy it, because the next game that's on the slate is also Big Ten, and it's Penn State and Iowa, number 10 Penn State, number 17 Iowa, and Iowa's just always overrated. There, I said it. Penn State is kind of coming up from the ashes, and that's cool and everything. But that's a better Big Ten game that I'm willing to watch than maybe see if Wisconsin is a pretender or not, which I lean. Like, if I could put this at a percentage for a contender or pretender, I would put 75-cent pretender for Wisconsin. Whereas Penn State, they're a little more impressive. And then Iowa, they have a nice tradition waving to the hospital. We all love that. And it's at Iowa. And that's going to be a nice moment, as it always is. But come on, Penn State needs to take care of business here.
Well, the powers that be here in this building, a couple of them are big-time Iowa fans because they're from there. So, you know, I could go one direction and kiss up, but I'm not going to. I think Iowa is a pretender. They have some pretty good games, but Penn State is scary.
Yeah. No, that's all exactly what I'm thinking, really. On to the next one, number 1, Alabama at number 24, Texas A&M. See, this is the impact of what I was talking about for South Carolina, where it's a really tough place to play. So I feel like if you're going to have an upset, you need Florida to lose this weekend, just so that way Florida might be on the ropes a little bit when they come visit Columbia. That would be something for the Gamecocks that they would want, because going to A&M would be a tough upset because College Station's a hard place to play. Alabama at A&M, 1 versus 24, shouldn't be a very good game, but College Station is just a really ridiculous place to play. That being said, Alabama by 20, at least. That's, you know what I mean? Like, I'll give credit to home field advantage where it's due, but Alabama is just leaps and bounds above A&M. Jimbo has a nice effect against top two, top three teams at home. We saw that against Clemson 2 years ago, that was last year. But I just don't see it happening against Alabama, Lonzo.
See, fans around here, Clemson fans, want to talk up Texas A&M because it makes their victory look better over
them.
Exactly,
yeah.
But Texas A&M is so overrated. This is going to be a rout.
Yeah.
Bama all the way.
Oh, yeah. I said by 20, just that's me being kind because it's at A&M. The home field might keep them in the game. Like, the garbage time is going to matter to them to close the gap because there's still going to be fans there. That's really why it's not by 40. Last game I'm thinking about, USC at Notre Dame. Why? Because, look, USC is trying to come out of the cellar after that bowl ban just ruined their recruiting. And then Notre Dame, they were in the game against Georgia way more than I think anyone really wanted to give them credit for or expected. And now they've gotten a little bit of credit. Southern California has some mojo, and they could just put Notre Dame back in their place. I know a lot of people love to hate Notre Dame because it's one of those national brands of college athletics. I get it. And I'm totally on board with it. I would love to see Notre Dame lose here. This is another night game. This one's on NBC, actually. Please, Trojans, please put the Fighting Irish in their place. Lonzo, I know you probably have an opinion on Notre Dame.
Well, I don't like Notre Dame either. I'm with you there.
Proud of you. Love
it. They do not deserve to be in the playoff. I hate when they make it in there. And plus, they've made it in there a couple of times and Ohio State hasn't. And it's stupid.
You're salty.
Or anyone representing the Big Ten is better than Notre Dame. You know, they held their own against Georgia. Does that say something about Notre Dame or does it say something about Georgia? I think it says something more about Georgia than it does Notre Dame. And I wouldn't be surprised if Notre Dame lost this weekend.
Yeah, I want it to say more about Georgia. So that means that Notre Dame is actually a bad team to just played up to hang with Georgia, right? So I want Notre Dame to lose. I don't know if this is an irrational sports hatred or not. I don't know why I just particularly hate Notre Dame. No, you know what? I know why. It's because they made the national championship, and then they got absolutely curb stomped by Alabama. That reason right there alone, Lonzo, should be the reason why Notre Dame never gets in the college football playoff again over a team that's actually played people. Notre Dame was so overrated. That was the Manti Te'o years. I mean, just come on. I think that was the real reason that spoiled the Notre Dame facade.
Well, you know what? The other fact is that bothers me and bothers a lot of people is they're in the ACC for basketball and a lot of other sports, but they won't commit to be in it as far as their football program goes. And that's just ridiculous. Join the conference all the way or don't come in it at all.
Yeah, that's annoying as well. You know what? I didn't get to the college football playoff percentages. I've got them. I will get to them next segment, and we will also discuss, I will just let you know, really, the situation that's happening with the NBA in China, because I feel like there's a lot of misunderstanding. I've already been asked by friends, like, what is going on? I will explain it to you. Let's keep it simple. And also, I'll tell you what Steve Kerr said, and we can keep that very simple as well. Derek Fogle filling in for Mark Ryan. You're still offsides. ESPN Upstate.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Filling in for Mark, I'm Derek Fogle. Great to be with you again. So I got to get to this All-State playoff predictor. They got the percentages to make the playoff for all the teams currently going into this week of college football, and also the percent to win the title. We'll get to the title percentages later. But right now I want to do the playoff percentages because, Lonzo, you'll be very happy to hear that Ohio State, in fact, leads the playoff percentage or to make the playoff with a 74% chance of making it. So there you go. Your Buckeyes have the best shot to make it in. You can gloat all you want. I'll give you four seconds.
I'm not going to gloat. They have the hardest schedule. Well, yeah, one of the harder schedules. So,
yeah. So moving down the line, you've got Alabama 69%, Clemson 65%, Georgia 45%, Oklahoma also 45%, LSU, which you were buying a lot of stock in, and I was also 31% chance. Penn State 18%, Notre Dame 15%. Why? Wisconsin 14%. So just looking at that right there, the most frustrating part of this is that if you were to take the top six teams, it would end perfectly to where the competition would be right. I feel like LSU, Oklahoma, Georgia, Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State all are very worthy of being in the playoffs. Those top six right there. When it goes down to Penn State and Notre Dame and Wisconsin even, no. And Florida, by the way, who's number seven in the country, has an 8% chance. Like, there's the drop-off right there, guys. It's that simple for me. Six-team playoff. First-round bye for the top two. There you go. Like, it makes too much sense. That's why it won't happen. Common sense is frowned upon nowadays. That is where we're at. But we'll get to the, I'll tell you their percent to win the title because it's interesting. It's not what I expected. I thought that for Clemson, it might have been higher. I thought that for Ohio State, it would be lower. So I'll tell you those percentages later. But I do want to get to this with what's happening with the NBA and China. So let me just explain before we play what Steve Kerr said yesterday. So what's happening is Daryl Morey, the general manager of the Houston Rockets, made a tweet that said, "I stand with Hong Kong." It was a logo of Stand with Hong Kong because they are currently fighting the state of China. So, yes, Hong Kong is part of China, but it's kind of its own sovereign state in a way. Well, it's now kind of going back to China. So it's losing some of its freedoms. That's why there's been riots and protests. And as you know, China's a communist country. There's a lot of censorship going on. So that is what's happening there. So Daryl Morey tweeting that about Hong Kong was very offensive to China as a whole. So they're upset about it now because they're trying to get Hong Kong back to be basically with all of China again. So now what's happening is the NBA and Adam Silver are trying to simultaneously do nothing, support their causes and support Daryl Morey, which is we allow our people to stand for civil rights, which they do. They allow their players to do things. They allow everyone to speak out and speak their mind. They're all about emboldening the athlete, not just as the athlete, but also as the person. So they're trying to do that while also, most importantly, hold on to about 20-25% of their revenue that comes from China. That is what's happening. Now cue Steve Kerr as the NBA tries to save face. Here is what Steve Kerr had to say, because everyone likes to see his opinion. Everyone thinks that he puts his foot in his mouth, but I don't really think he did here. You go ahead and listen, and you can see for yourself. Here's what Steve Kerr had to say about the situation.
It has not come up in terms of people asking me about it, people discussing it, nor has our record of human rights abuses come up either, you know. Things that our country needs to look at and resolve, that hasn't come up either. So none of us are perfect, and we all have different issues that we have to get to. And saying that is my right as an American doesn't mean that I hate my country. It means I want to address things, right? But people in China didn't ask me about, people owning AR-15s and mowing each other down in a mall. I wasn't asked that question. So we can play this game all we want and go all over the map, and you know, there's this issue and that issue, and the world is a complex place, and there's more gray than black and white.
Okay. I know immediately you're probably wanting to make some reaction about his gun control thing that he kind of insinuated at, and also how he's comparing the U.S.'s civil rights situation to China's, where it's borderline fascist, where there's censorship and people are literally jailed and disappear if they speak out against the government. That is not what was happening there. Okay, people wanted to attack him as a coward for not standing up and saying that China is bad. Here's the problem, you guys. Are you really going to stand up to the country of China that has more U.S. dollars in its economy than our own? And are you going to stand up and tell them that, freedom is correct? Well, yeah, everyone knows that freedom is correct. Everyone knows that communism is not a good thing. That's not the issue here. The issue is the NBA is trying to hold on to its largest revenue stream that does not exist in the U.S. That's all that's happening here. It's all about the money. Everyone wanting to say that Steve Kerr is a coward. Let me ask you this. Because, look, I know everyone's a fake tough guy online. Everyone's cooler than they are online, or they look cooler online. People have, you know, a picture of whatever, not them. They don't have a bio, and then they say childish and horrible things to each other on Twitter. That's not important. What's important here is that if you actually think that he was in the wrong because he wasn't willing to say that China is wrong for not having freedom, you miss the point. Everyone knows that it's wrong to not have freedom and human rights. The issue is, are you willing to take away 20 to 25% of your own salary to say some words that ultimately ruin your salary? Okay, this is all about money. The NBA is trying to save face. You don't have to like it, but that's just the reality of the situation. Like, if you say anything to China, does it do anything good? No. Everyone knows that China's in the wrong, but everyone knows that you also can't mess with them. Okay? Texter says, Fogel, come on, bro. I know you can't stand up to China, and I don't expect them to, but to compare U.S. civil rights issues to China's is more. Yeah, but he's not trying to do that. He's trying to say, look, we have our own problems as well that we can actually focus on and make changes about. We know we can't change their government. He's trying to focus on ourselves. What was so wrong with that? He's aware that there are differences in the human rights issues. Okay? You're missing it. You've missed it if you're trying to attack Steve Kerr on this. He's trying to say, yes, that is wrong. We all know that's wrong. We all know the NBA, we have to make money in China, and their situation is awful. We don't like it. That's the fact of the matter, though. We can't change it. We can change as ourselves, and we can work on our own situations and civil rights issues. If you can't see that, I'm sorry. That is the fact of the matter. And if you think you're a tough guy that's willing to say something or think that that was the parallel, then let me ask you if you're willing to take away 20, 25% of your own salary to say words that will ultimately be unimpactful and just really ruin your life. Because that's what you're looking at as the NBA. Is it's ruining its livelihood. And at the end of the day, all they care about is money. All the NFL cares about is money. All the MLB care. That's all they care about is money. It's what it all comes down to for a lot of us. Sucks to say it, but that's the reality. Okay, so don't blow this out of proportion like people are trying to say, Steve Kerr this, Steve Kerr that. You hate the Warriors. Fine, I get it. That's a sports issue. Why you don't like the Warriors. You don't make this more than it is. Don't pretend to be a tough guy online. That you missed it. Okay, I feel like I had to get that out of the way. I feel like we had to know what was going on. There was just a quick crash course on what's happening with the NBA, China, Houston Rockets, Daryl Morey, all of that. It's behind you. Now you know we can move on from that, and we'll get back to more fun offsides content. If you watched Thursday Night Football last night, I did not, but by looking at the stat sheet, I can tell you exactly what happened. And there's something fun in that, actually. We'll discuss Thursday Night Football next. Derek Fogel filling in for Mark Ryan. You are still offsides.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
.307 Start that text with ESPN. You want to join the show? Texter says, I just wish people and companies were more straightforward. They do the same thing for Pride Month. They pretend to care, but it's just for business. Yeah, the NBA is selling out. If you're grandstanding on something and then no longer do it when it's convenient, that is selling out. They have to. It's business. It's awful, especially when you're staring down the barrel of China and the Chinese government. Yeah, it's awful. But let's look at Thursday Night Football. The Giants hung in there, and I think that impressed me for at least how long they kind of held them at bay and stayed in the game. But then what did we say would happen, Lonzo? Yeah, Bill Belichick would handle a young quarterback. Daniel Jones throws 3 picks. We can't be too surprised. That's what it is. That's what happens. And now everyone wants to say Patriots are a Super Bowl team. Yeah, yeah, probably. Is any of this a surprise, Lonzo?
You know what? It's not. But at the same time, let me take that back. I think the Giants hanging in the way they did is kind of a surprise. And yeah, Daniel Jones threw some interceptions. There was some fumbles. But the Giants defense played pretty well against the Patriots. And
yeah, I guess I just look at how they like just canceled them out the second half. You know what I mean? They really put the nail in the coffin there. Like, oh, okay, we fooled around and figured it out.
Yeah, but see, what happened was they blocked a punt and scored a touchdown off that. And yeah. There were a couple defensive touchdowns for the Patriots. You take those away and it's a lot more even game. So again, the Patriots won and they deserved to win, but I thought the Giants played a lot better than they would have with Eli under center. And I still think the future is bright. I think Jones, pretty good quarterback.
Well, great news, Lonzo. We'll get to air it out about all of the NFL teams next. We'll do our NFL pick-ems, go through the entire Week 6. It's a good time. We just talk trash. Derek Fogle filling in for Mark Ryan. You are Offsides, ESPN Upstate. And Lonzo, there's more money to give away. Let's do it.
All right. It is the $1,000 free cash stash on ESPN Upstate. The key word is culture. CULTURE, culture. Text that keyword to 72881. That's 72881. Good luck.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.